Welcome to KDNK's Weekly Newsreel,
a news magazine that takes a look at the week's top local and regional news stories aired on KDNK between Monday and Friday. Subscribe to our podcast and give us a review on iTunes. If you have a tip on something you'd like the KDNK news team to cover, send it to news@kdnk.org. All submissions are confidential. The weekly newsreel is underwritten by RJ Paddywax Pet Outfitters, next to City Market in Elgeville. Open 7 days a week. More info at 970-963-1700 or rjpaddywax.com.
I'm Amy Haddon Marsh, your host. Ski resorts around the state have received new snow in the past 48 hours, and resorts remain open for normal ski operations. As of Saturday morning, Aspen Mountain had 2 inches of new snow, Aspen Highlands and Snowmass 1 inch, Sunlight Mountain Resort 4 inches, Wolf Creek 10, and Silverton 1 foot of new snow. According to the Denver Post, ski areas are not included in state and local gathering bans, although some resorts have canceled planned events. In Eagle, Pitkin, and Garfield counties, bans limit gatherings of more than 50 people, but they only apply to events and do not include normal ski area operations. You might want to check resort websites, however, before you go. KDNK News hosts Steve Cole and Mike Lemmer have a few headlines from the week.
State lawmakers have passed a bill to replace Columbus Day with a state holiday honoring an Italian woman who set up orphanages in Colorado in the early 1900s. If Governor Jared Polis signs it, Francis Xavier Cabrini Day will be observed on the first Monday in October. Supporters say Christopher Columbus should no longer be honored because of his hostile actions towards indigenous people. Republicans oppose the change, saying lawmakers should not try to rewrite history. Colorado was the first state to observe Columbus Day more than a century ago.
Colorado lawmakers are again trying to get rid of the statute of limitations for sexual abuse lawsuits. A bipartisan proposal at the state legislature had its first hearing on Thursday. It would end the time limit for all lawsuits alleging sexual assault. It would not allow people to sue who have already lost their chance to file cases. An analysis by the news outlet Climate Central finds the warming climate is causing spring to arrive 4 days earlier in Denver. Climate Central looked at nearly 240 cities across the United States. Flagstaff registered the most dramatic change, with the first blooms coming 18 days earlier. That was followed by Colorado Springs and Reno, Nevada.
And, of course, COVID-19 is on everyone's mind. Some of the week's top stories included updates from around the state and the region. KDNK News Director Lucas Turner spoke with Capitol reporter Scott Franz about how the state has been responding.
So the governor announced a state of emergency earlier this week. Can you explain why he did that?
Well, it's really a way to maximize the state's resources to fight against the spread of this virus. Polis is actually really worried about what he has seen playing out in places like Italy, you know, where they've locked down the entire country. His emergency declaration, what it does is it raises the urgency and allows the state to potentially receive several million dollars in federal assistance. He's also hoping to get more testing kits. He thinks that's a very vital part of the response, is to get more people tested to see where the virus actually is. But here he is talking about why he made the call for this emergency declaration.
What it does is it gives us access to resources and more legal flexibility to take steps now to protect the most vulnerable and better contain the outbreak, truly reducing the chances of the trajectory that has occurred in countries like Italy from occurring here in Colorado.
The governor also announced several more measures this week to try and slow the spread. What specific actions is the state taking?
Polis is really trying to limit the scope of this by taking pressure off of workers who might feel the need to go into work, not to miss a paycheck, even though they might have come down with symptoms and appear sick and might actually have COVID-19. So what he did was he ordered employers in certain service industries like teachers, healthcare workers, food handlers, you know, people employing those types of workers will now have to pay a small amount of sick leave to these workers if they need to take time off to get tested for the virus. There's also, you know, a very dramatic recommendation Polis is making at this point. He's urging people who are 60 and older to avoid taking any unnecessary trips to mountain communities, places like Aspen, Carbondale, really places that, have seen, you know, cases of the virus or are close to cases. And, you know, that also, that recommendation goes for people with chronic health conditions.
And so why did he issue the travel alert for the mountain areas like where we are?
Yeah, that's a great question. There are a couple of reasons. First, Polis is worried because places like Aspen don't have the same resources to treat people for the virus that urban areas do.
These community healthcare systems in our mountain and resort communities have limited surge capacity. They are also generally at higher altitudes.
He also says the high country is getting hit hardest by the virus at this point. You know, he labeled Pitkin County as a hot spot this week based on the 9 cases that were appearing there.
You were talking about testing, and we're going to get into some of the things that the state is doing to respond to coronavirus. I'm curious if there are plans or have there been any discussions that you're aware of to ramp up testing, the ability to test, or even expand the locations for testing?
Right. Well, that is one of the state's biggest priorities right now, is to ramp up the testing ability. He's been working closely with Vice President Mike Pence. He said earlier they had about a 20-minute phone conversation where Polis really stressed the need from the federal government to get more tests. He said he was guaranteed an additional 1,500 testing kits this week, you know, which would bring the state's capacity to more than 2,000. But at the same time, there's an effort underway. The governor's repeated calls to private companies, private labs, to start increasing their testing capability. And the hope is that, you know, in the coming days, you know, there won't be, you know, a shortage of test kits that anyone who needs to get tested can. And, you know, we're also seeing this drive up lab is another key component of this. Just an example of a state's kind of new effort to make it easier for people to get tested.
So if what's been happening in other states, Washington, New York, and even internationally is any indication, it sounds like things could get pretty serious. Should listeners be worried, or what is the appropriate reaction at this point?
Well, you know, I attended a press conference with the governor this week, and I will say he appeared very somber. You know, the first one seemed maybe a little more optimistic about getting a handle on the virus, but as the cases continued to spread, you know, the governor definitely is taking a more serious tone. But he's still trying to assure Coloradans that we can get through this, and that at this point there's still no reason to panic.
The most important person who can help stop the spread of the virus is you. We all have a role to play. Everyone's essential. This is really a test of our Colorado character, a test of our ability to put the interests of our state, the interests of our community up front.
You know, he says that means washing your hands, staying home when you're sick, and getting tested if you're showing flu-like symptoms.
Scott Franz is our state capitol reporter. He'll be providing us more updates in the coming days on the spread of the coronavirus in Colorado. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, my pleasure.
You can hear a longer version of that interview and get COVID-19 updates on our website at kdnk.org. Social distancing may just become the word or phrase of the year. On Friday, Governor Jared Polis issued a statewide ban on events of more than 250 people in the Tri-County area, meaning Pitkin, Garfield, and Eagle counties. The ban is tighter and prohibits gatherings of more than 50 people. The governor has also urged older people to stay out of the high country.
Polis says the situation statewide will get worse before it gets better. He's particularly worried about the coronavirus spreading in mountain communities like Aspen because they have fewer resources than urban areas.
These community healthcare systems in our mountain and resort communities have limited surge capacity. They are also generally at higher altitudes. So I am advising our resort communities that provide guidance that travelers over 60 or with chronic health issues should avoid unnecessary travel to the high country areas with the outbreaks.
The recommendation comes after the state reported 9 presumptive cases of the virus in Pitkin County, which Polis labeled a hotspot. He encouraged older people, especially those most at risk, to avoid large gatherings. I'm Scott Franz at the state capitol.
Local public health departments are scrambling to gain some sort of control over the spread and public response to COVID-19. Last week's brief attempt at community testing in Aspen failed after less than a few hours. Now, only those exhibiting COVID-19 symptoms and who are in the so-called vulnerable population can get testing. Here's Aspen Valley Hospital's Lori Malloy from a press call Friday afternoon.
They have severe enough symptoms that they would normally call 911. They should call 911. Okay. When they call, they should say, I have respiratory issues or I believe that I may have COVID-19, so that we can prepare ahead of time to have the appropriate personal protective equipment on so that we don't get exposed and become sick. If they present to the ER and somebody drove them there, they didn't call 911 because they believe they need emergency care, then we have a number that they will call, and then we will get our gear on and get masks for them and bring them into the hospital.
Eagle County officials extended local disaster emergency statements. Lucas Turner got the details.
The emergency declaration first went into effect Saturday after being signed by County Manager Jeff Schroll. It would have expired today, but on Tuesday, county staff asked commissioners to extend and thus officially recognize the declaration. Eagle County Emergency Manager Birch Barron explains why he believes the emergency declaration is warranted.
The word emergency is really difficult to define, and there are very possibly direct emergency impacts of the disease itself, but we're also already seeing secondary impacts of shortages of protective equipment, staffing, and jobs that are key and essential to public safety being major challenges for both our medical providers, our first responders, and a number of businesses in the community are feeling the same pressure. So what we want to do, and we think it's a very normal and typical step, is initiate the declaration of emergency early, make sure that is in place so that we can signal to county employees and our partners that this needs to be a top priority.
The move comes after public health officials announced Eagle County's 3rd presumptive positive case of COVID-19.
We just confirmed Eagle County's 3rd case of coronavirus here in the county today. Upon notification of our first case, we moved rapidly to evaluate whether an emergency declaration was the right tool to not necessarily stoke fears in our community that were unrealistic, but really to open up administrative channels and make sure that we have all of the tools we need to effectively respond should this crisis become worse.
County Attorney Kathy Parker explains that the declaration recognizes the public health department's ability to issue orders that are enforceable throughout the county.
And it, you know, makes that statement that we are requesting that the sheriff pay close attention to those orders, and if there's a necessity for enforcement, that he pursue that.
The declaration also recognizes Eagle County's emergency manager as the lead coordinator of the response, directs staff to make themselves available for emergency response efforts if needed, and directs the county manager to review staff resources and the continuity plan in the event that a staff member becomes ill. Parker ended by stating that the emergency declaration is mainly administrative and records the county's official response to the situation. Eagle County Public Health and Environment Director Heath Harmon explains that protecting those with pre-existing health conditions is why the community should focus on practicing basic disease prevention guidelines.
The tools that we have to take care of this problem at the individual level and at the community level are all known, despite the fact that this virus is new. We know these things. It's wash your hands, it's cover your cough, it's stay home when you're sick. Right? Pretty simple stuff. So if we can just do that, not only is that helping us should we be exposed, but most importantly, it's helping the most vulnerable in our community. And so people that, older adults that are over the age of 60 and or anybody that has underlying health conditions, particularly heart disease, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, chronic lung conditions, and cancer, those are the people that are most vulnerable. So it's up to all of us to help take care of them as well.
Kathy Chandler Henry, chair of the Eagle Board of County Commissioners, says an emergency declaration is a tool to aid in a well-coordinated response.
We're expecting it probably will get worse in the state and in Eagle County, and it feels like we are very prepared for it, and this is a tool to help do that.
You can find updates on public health and safety information for Eagle County at ecemergency.org.
You're listening to KDNK's weekly newsreel, highlighting regional and local stories aired on KDNK between Monday and Friday, with in-kind support from Rifle Community TV, providing local information and non-commercial programming, including coverage of Rifle City Council, RE2 School Board, the Energy Advisory Board, Northwest Colorado Oil and Gas Forum, and more. Rifle TV is at riflenow.org. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh, your host. KDNK's Raleigh Burley has coronavirus tips for Spanish-speaking listeners.
Acá les compartimos algunas de las medidas proactivas tomadas localmente para frenar la propagación potencial, los impactos y el daño de COVID-19 en el Valle Roaring Fork. Los condados de Eagle, Garfield y Pickens han prohibido los eventos y juntas con más de 50 personas que no toman medidas especiales para minimizar el riesgo. Esto no incluye a los restaurantes. También es recomendado el distanciamiento social, en todo caso, limitando el contacto físico porque el virus se transmite de persona a persona y es muy contagioso, y mayormente peligroso para la gente de tercera edad y que ya tiene complicaciones de salud. Limitar la propagación ayudará a nuestros sistemas de salud por no tener que responder a muchos casos a la vez. Para las escuelas, el Colorado Mountain College está cambiando temporalmente sus operaciones para todos los campus y lugares. Todas las clases de crédito, inglés como segundo idioma y GED, se trasladarán a un entorno en línea o WebEx durante un periodo de 3 semanas, o hasta el 12 de abril. A principios de abril, la universidad determinará si debe regresar a un entorno cara a cara a partir del 13 de abril, o continuar en un entorno remoto hasta el final del semestre. Todos los cursos sin crédito serán cancelados por su duración y se proporcionarán reembolsos prorrateados. Los cursos que comenzarán entre ahora y el 12 de abril se cancelan y los estudiantes recibirán un reembolso completo. Los campus y las residencias permanecen abiertos en este momento y los residentes pueden permanecer en sus habitaciones. Las escuelas de Roaring Fork cancelarán todos los eventos no esenciales hasta el 29 de marzo. Para RE2 están cancelados todos los eventos no esenciales hasta el 6 de abril. Todas las clases para las escuelas del Distrito Escolar Roaring Fork y Aspen están canceladas hasta por lo menos el 30 de marzo. Y más, la ciudad de Glenwood Springs ha implementado una declaración de emergencia local por desastre, cerrando sus edificios públicos, incluyendo el centro comunitario, el ayuntamiento, la oficina administrativa del Departamento de Policía, la oficina administrativa del Departamento de Bomberos y el Centro de Arte. El cierre será reevaluado el 27 de marzo. La policía, los bomberos, las obras públicas, las instalaciones, los parques, el vertedero, el centro de reciclaje y el liderazgo de la ciudad continuarán brindando servicios esenciales. Las tiendas de segunda mano de Lift Up en Rifle y Parachute permanecerán cerrados hasta el 18 de marzo para que sus empleados puedan ayudar con mantener abiertas las despensas de comida. Para ayudar como voluntario, se puede visitar su sitio de web. Es muy importante lavar las manos muy a menudo y antes de tocar la cara. Si uno se siente enfermo, es importante mantenerse en casa. Si uno cree que tiene el virus, con sus síntomas de fiebre y tos seco, es importante llamar en avance a tu doctor antes que ir. También se puede llamar a Valley View para más información. Ese número es 970-618-6735.
Businesses, schools, and local government offices are either closing temporarily or restructuring their schedules. Here are a few that happened this week. The city of Glenwood Springs declared a state of disaster emergency on Friday. Beginning today, the city will close City Hall, the Community Center, Arts Center, and the Police and Fire Department's administrative offices. All of Glenwood Springs Community Center's scheduled programs have been canceled through March 27th. Police, fire, and emergency medical services are opened, as are the city landfill, recycle center, and parks. The Glenwood Springs Frontier Museum closed today. All Glenwood Springs closures are for 2 weeks. Moving down the list, the Crystal Theater in Carbondale is closed temporarily, with the marquee noting, "Shut Happens." Green is the New Black Fashion Show is postponed until November. Five Point Film Fest in Carbondale is postponed until October. The Wheeler Opera House has canceled all March events. The Aspen Institute has suspended all events and staff is working remotely. Steve's Guitars in Carbondale has canceled acts for this weekend and the rest of March. Thunder River Theater Company has suspended rehearsals, programs, meetings, and events through mid-April. The Glenwood Vaudeville Review will not perform Into the Woods this weekend and has canceled the musical and other special events through April 8th. Windwalkers is closed until the end of spring break. The Aspen Center for Physics has canceled the final two winter conferences, lectures, and cafes on March 18th and 24th, but they hope to have a full schedule of summer events from mid-June to mid-September. At the Garfield County Fairgrounds in Rifle, all 4-H events are canceled through March 23rd, and all 4-H Friday activity clubs are canceled until April 10th. The Garfield County Oil and Gas Symposium and the Vegetation Management Pesticide Applicator Workshop have both been canceled. All Garfield County senior programs, meals, and group activities have been suspended, and transportation service on the Traveler has been reduced. Now for school closures, the Aspen School District will not hold classes for March 16th to the 20th. Spring break is scheduled for March 23rd through the 27th, so students will be out for at least 2 weeks. Colorado Mountain College has extended spring break for students only by 1 week through March 20th. Non-credit courses have been canceled. Courses set to begin between now and April 12th are also canceled. Campuses and residence halls remain open at this point, and students can stay in their rooms. Dining services will resume Sunday evening, March 15th, but the college encourages students who are able to stay elsewhere and not return to campus until face-to-face classes resume. You can find more information about refunds, credit courses, and programs at the Colorado Mountain College website. Schools in the Roaring Fork School District are closed next Monday through Wednesday, March 16th through 18th, prior to spring break, which starts on March 19th. On the international scene, spring climbing season on Mount Everest has been canceled due to the virus. Nepal and China have suspended climbing permits. Changes are happening fast, so I may have missed some closures or cancellations. Feel free to send that information to calendar@kdnk.org. Meanwhile, remember to wash your hands using the Happy Birthday song technique, cover coughs and sneezes, and stay home if you're sick. Surprisingly, life goes on during the COVID-19 outbreak, despite runs on toilet paper and hand sanitizer. Another lawsuit has been filed concerning the Mid-Continent Limestone Quarry near Glenwood Springs. This time, it's against the Bureau of Land Management.
What we're asking in that case is that the BLM properly regulate the mining operations at the quarry.
That's Heather McGregor, member of the board of directors of the Citizens Alliance, during an interview on KDNK's For Land's Sake.
What's happening is that there's certain kinds of limestone that are governed and allowed under the 1872 Mining Act, and some of what is coming out of the quarry qualifies for that. But a great deal of it, more than half, as best we can tell, does not qualify and is considered a common variety mineral.
The lawsuit contends that since 2016, the BLM has allowed Rocky Mountain Resources, owner of the quarry, to mine and sell types of limestone that are not allowed under the company's federal mining permit, such as road base and riprap.
RMR is quarrying that material and taking it off the property and selling it, and they don't have a permit for that, and they are not paying for the excavation and removal of that material.
According to sales receipts obtained by the Citizens Alliance through the Freedom of Information Act, RMR produced more than 2,150 truckloads of rock at various times between October 2016 and June 2018, and that close to 60% of sales were common variety products delivered to local contractors. According to the press release, the Citizens Alliance first raised these issues in a formal letter to the BLM in October 2018, asking the agency to investigate suspected permit violations and, if violations were found, to begin enforcement actions or suspend non-compliant mining operations. The group sent another letter to BLM in February 2020 and says BLM then issued a response stating it would allow RMR's current operations to continue. BLM has not provided RMR sales reports from late 2018 through 2019, despite the group's request. The lawsuit asks the federal court to declare that BLM's actions violate federal law and to prohibit the agency from allowing any further mining at the quarry until BLM comes into full compliance with the law. The suit has nothing to do with RMR's proposal to expand the quarry.
Make sure you hoard all of the toilet paper.
Another event canceled by COVID was KDNK's Friday at the Aspen Art Museum with California-based duo Handmade Moments. But they brought their delicious sound to the KDNK studios for an exclusive Express Yourself treat. Here's a little TP song to take with you.
Get your hands off my double ply. I will poke you right inside your eye. Get your hands off my double ply. Coronavirus, here we all are gonna die. Get your hands off my toilet soft. That's the only thing that I really want. Get your hands off my booty paper. That's the only thing that will make me better.
I only feel safe when I surround myself with rolls and rolls and rolls and rolls of fresh toilet paper.
I only feel safe when I am protected from the fecal matter that could get infected, if you know what I mean.
If you know what I mean.
I think you know what I mean.
You probably know what we mean.
You gotta take the toilet paper, bring it to your house. Make sure no one else can get in or you out.
You gotta stack it up and make yourself a fort. And then nothing else can extort you. Not even COVID-19.
That's the chorus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Not even COVID-19. Well, if you can't afford a mask, here's what you should do. Buy some double ply. That's ply times two. Wrap it around your face and wrap it around your nose. Because everybody knows that COVID-19 can't grow around toilet paper.
Yeah, it's immune to toilet paper.
Its only weakness is toilet.
That does it for this week's newsreel. Check out KDNK.org for all the stories, including another edition of the Tactile Traveler and COVID-19 information. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh, your host. Stay safe and have a good week.
You will be the sad, weak fool whose life will be left behind.
You will be left to your own devices in that moment in the bathroom. You'll have to use old-fashioned water to groom.
That's the new chorus. You'll have to use old-fashioned water to groom.
You'll have to use old-fashioned water.
to groom.